And while we on the left need a theory of why we obey and to integrate this understanding into our strategic planning, the global state statesmen have known for quite some time, at least since Bentham, if they forgot their Plato, that such a theory was needed. Their agenda, of course, is control. So they devised the levers to apply to force us to implement their designs. By contrast, the thought of the left has been reactive in the extreme. And by ceding this question of our obedience to them, who are determined to compel it, our obedience, they imply agreement. They provide tacit support to rule, covert and overt. Minimally, the left, assuming a grasp of the centrality of obedience and the crafting of it in every human underclass, could have presented to us all a practical unmasking of Bentham, a translation into plain language and a framing of it in terms of a clear allegiance with our brothers and sisters, thereby furthering our discussion and placing on center stage the most critical understanding we need to get free. Critical because it's held us up systematically. So, minimally, we needed to talk about this question of obedience in order to start on the right track home. In a previous show, we discussed one of Bentham's, Jeremy Bentham's, and he lived and was inspired, around the time of the French Revolution. A lot of folk who were who wrote for power, did the thinking for power about, what to do about this problem of folks rising. And in a previous show, we discussed one of Bentham's key gifts to the global state statesman, showing them how to craft popular acceptance of one's class position. And I'm using that word class in quotes. It's a power word, not ours. All of the categorizations of us are for their benefit, for their, is to help them, not us. Acceptance of our position by controlling the thoughts we are allowed to think in order to make permanent our subservient position. But in what follows, we're going to be examining the theory behind the strategy, the theory on the part of power. And again, it's kind of an old theory, but Jeremy breathed new life into it, updated it. Quote from Jeremy Bentham, and this is Panamio Fragments, and he liked to make up words. I vibe with that. Quote, and little else, certainly not the vision and the objective. Quote, obligation. Obligations may exist without rights. Rights cannot exist without obligations. And those are both just words for force, coercion. It's like saying, how do you translate the word obligation into something that sounds like there's compliance or acceptance, and that becomes then rights? Or, he was good with figuring out euphemisms for distasteful or unpalatable, to us at least, to the people, terms. So, and then he says, obligation is a fictitious entity, is the product of a law, which is a real entity. It's propaganda for you, right? And by real, he means it's got power behind it. Clearly, strong, in place, set power, at least they hope. Continuing, a law, when entire, is a command. But a command supposes eventual punishment. For without eventual punishment, or the apprehension of it, obedience would be an effect without a cause. And we're going to have to probably review this whole section on Bentham in upcoming shows as well, because it is really the centerpiece of their strategy, of their strategic thinking, and or of their raison d'etre. It's their self-justification. A law, when entire, is a command, but a command supposes eventual punishment, right? He's being honest. Hence, EMF weapons. If you can't get them to obey, you got to figure out a way to make them obey. For the recalcitrant ones, that's what these weapons were designed for. A command supposes eventual punishment, for without eventual punishment or the apprehension of it, obedience would be an effect without a cause. My comment, to obey unquestioningly, is not our nature. So force, whether that force is hardcore, as in assassination, the threat of death, or whether it's soft, as in parents trained to raise obedient children, that's still force. That's still coercion. And force must be applied by those who want to compel our tacit consent to the terms of our enslavement. Continuing. The word right is the name of a fictitious entity, one of those objects, the existence of which is feigned for the purpose of discourse, i.e., my comment, rights begin with the state. The state gives, the state takes away. It pretends it issues to solicit or compel our obedience. It is fictitious. Rights begin with the state, and by right he simply means coercion. Scarcity and a harsh nature comprise the opening premises of Bentham's thought. Continuing. Law supposes government. To establish a law is to exercise an act of government. A law is a declaration of will. And he's very much interested in this question of the will. Who has, and that's a totalitarian ambition, right? How do we become the will that is unstoppable, irresistible, the will? How do you do that? That's this fascination with fascism, with dictators of all kinds. A law is a declaration of a will conceived and manifested by an individual or individuals to whom the other individuals in the society to which such will has respect are generally disposed to obey. And my comment. So this is very straightforward. We obey because power has studied, plotted, and planned for millennia how to get us to obey, how to compel our obedience, as without it, unless we internalize these limits, power doesn't exist. Now, this theory, quote unquote, of why we obey has been proven by its successful implementation generation after generation. It's not in dispute. So why does the left not incorporate it into its strategic planning? And the answer partly is that Marxist theory, if not Marx himself, seemed to supersede the need to, seemed to render it moot. There is an historicist, to use Karl Popper's word, bend in it, and he too acknowledges that Marx was far less historicist than Marxist theory, how it became, how it was used. So this theory has a historicist, to use Karl Popper's word, bend in it, that says society develops in stages inevitably, and once the people have sufficiently grown into their quote-unquote historical mission, then comes our freedom. But as Karl Popper shows, power will always ensure this never happens. He said that Marx insufficiently credited power. He would say the power of the state. But we have a global state, and so this word power seems in some sense more appropriate. They share obviously the common ideology, the common ends, common worldview and vision.